Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
15 minutes after 6. Good morning to you now, joining us in a special hello to those people on that. I've been saying to you, a bit of a change as to how we do things on a morning. Got an interview that's starting for you now, focusing, as we've been doing for quite some time, on local government elections. And this morning, our focus on local government, I look at the youth perspective and whether or not enough young people are involved in, well, local government elections, because that's on the horizon. General elections, elections, politics in general. We do have three persons with us here this morning. Well, at least two at this point in time, and a third expected to join us. So let's begin with some welcomes. Say good morning to two-time National Youth Parliamentarian. That's Chrisette Benjamin. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. Also joining our discussion here this morning, Youth Leadership Development Coach. That is Kobe Nathan Sandy. Good morning to you.
Good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Nice to have you with us. And of course, a gentleman, he's been with us on many occasions before, and he actually co-hosts a program on a Sunday. Let's welcome back to our program, Rudolph Anamji. Good morning to you. Nice to have you with us here
good
this morning.
Good morning, Satish. Good morning to my fellow panelists in Trinidad and Tobago.
Nice to have all three of you with us here this morning. We started this series on local government long before the local government election was announced. And the intention was raising awareness on local government, some of the issues surrounding it, and trying to explain to some people why it should be more important to them than it is at this point in time. As I usually do as we begin our discussions, I allow the guests the opportunity to familiarize the listener with them. Let's begin. Ladies first. We have her in studio here this morning. That's Chrisette Benjamin, two-time National Youth Parliamentarian. Tell us a bit about yourself and about this foray into politics, being the youth National Youth Parliamentarian twice. How does that work?
Okay, so good morning once again. I am Chrisette Benjamin. I am the founder of a non-governmental organization called the I Believe in Success Foundation. And I was granted the opportunity to participate in Youth Parliament in 2017. That's because the Parliament selects different secondary schools and they submit persons to participate. So that was my first time. And the second time was in 2021, where the Parliament brought back all their top debaters, who they deem as top debaters, to have a smaller parliament, but it was a really nice experience as well, where we debated on digital inclusion.
Okay, it's pretty interesting. And of course, another guest, Kobe Nathan Sandy, Youth Leadership Development Coach. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of what you're involved in.
All right, yes. Like Chrisette, I've also been a part of the Youth Parliament on two occasions as well, but more than that, most recently I was the UV Guild president, immediate past UV Guild president, representing the interests of all of the students, wonderful students at the UWI for some 20 months. And before that, I was the National Affairs Chairperson on that guild as well. I have served in various ways, various ways in my life, whether it be through school, investing in secondary school, and I also did A-levels in Guyana, actually, in St. Joseph High School. Really and truly, my entire career thus far has been youth development, has been in representation, has been in advocacy, and has been, of course, in really and truly pushing the envelope for youth leaders around me and in this country.
Yeah. It's nice to have you with us here this morning. And of course, Rudolph Anamji, no stranger, but still, let's allow you to give people an idea of the hat that you're going to be wearing this morning. Former COP executive member and local government campaign lead. Tell us a bit about that.
Thank you, Satish. It's lovely to be in such fine company. I, like my colleagues, when I was younger, I did not participate in the Youth Parliament, but I trained students at QRC to be in the Youth Parliament because I was, before them, the representative for the Model UN. As a matter of fact, I was privileged enough to serve back then as the Under Secretary General. And since then, as you said, I joined politics actively in 2008 and assisted the COP in forming part of the 2010 government. We actually ran multiple local government candidates. I was campaign manager for two candidates in PNM areas, and we were actually able to convert those areas through a lot of hard work and data usage. And since then, I have resigned from that party. I'm not actively involved in politics, but with the local government elections coming up, I've been giving some advice here and there. I'm also certified in community development, as well as public innovation and governance. And I love working with NGOs and CBOs to support Trinidad and Tobago's development. So I'm glad to be here and join my views to the conversation.
Nice to have all three of you with us here this morning. Our discussion this morning is an interesting one for several reasons. We've been having, as I said, this series focusing on local government for a couple of days, spanning into weeks. And of course, it's all intended at raising awareness, dealing with issues as we lead up to this local government election on the 14th of August. And that, heading to this election itself, was controversial. The manner in which it came about, as the result of a Privy Council judgment, the government taking a decision last December to extend the term of local government councillors and of the council itself, and that, of course, being deemed illegal, and all of that, we're very much aware. In some of the discussions that we've had, it's been stated over and over again, local government elections is a low-key affair. It has been. Always seems to be a low-key affair where we can never get more than 30-something percent of the electorate to be involved. That's a challenge one way or the other, but it seems to be par for the course, and it's accepted far and wide that this is just what local government is. Local government, even though it's described as one of the most important elements to everyday life, these people take up your garbage, they see about your playgrounds and your streets in some areas and all these things, people just don't seem to care. At least 60-something percent of the electorate doesn't seem to care. Let's find out from our youth representative, those of you you've been involved in the youth parliament and all of these things. Why do you think that is? Let's begin with Charette. Pronounce your name correctly for me.
It's Chrisette.
Chrisette. Go ahead.
I wholly view that the electorate does not necessarily see the importance of going out on voting because of, one, they feel disconnected from representatives on a whole. So you often hear people say that it's only around election times you see things happening or you see from your representative, but after that, after the first 1 month, you're not seeing them anymore. And then two, there's a lot of misconceptions, I realize, with the role of local governments and councillors. Many of them seem to have the opinion that local government responsibilities are what actually is central government responsibilities. So there is this lack of understanding of the importance. Now, there's people who surely understands that, you know, local government, as you said, responsible for maintenance of secondary roads, maintaining recreational spaces, public health, everyday life. But is that really echoed and taught even to the youth? And that's why I took it upon myself to use my social media platforms to ensure that persons understand the importance of electing representatives who are not just doing it just because, but because they actually want to advocate for their purchases and their communities. So I believe those are the two main reasons. And one last reason, there are not a lot of youth representatives in local government. I mean, the last elections, we definitely saw there was some young persons that were actually elected. But I'm hoping that this year, when candidates are actually declared, we see a lot more youths representing, because in corporations, they have the responsibility of having a sports and youth committee. And I can speak for my hometown, Mira Rio Claro. There was not much programs geared and catered towards the development of youth. That social development aspect and that youth development aspect was in neglect. And that's one of the responsibilities of local government. And even with reform, it will be even more amplified.
Yeah. Let's get Kobe's views. This lack of engagement in local government, What do you think are some of the factors causing it?
Well, I think that, you know, the local government system, in principle, when I say this, in principle, it goes to the core of governance. And as you rightly said, Satish, is that local government meets your everyday issues and challenges that, you know, mightn't be met by government in central every day. When you have issues such as your drains that are overflowing, your issues with your road in your street, your issues with garbage collection, your issues with you know, the cemetery being upgraded and maintained, these are everyday challenges that people will of course face. So, however, as I said before, is in principle very, it goes to the core of governance. But the issue that we have is that it is the structure of the system is so estranged that it makes governance difficult for councillors and those who are in these authorities. So the reform element is crucial to ensure that we get value for money, and of course we see effectiveness in corporations. What do we have now? We have all 14 corporations going through a third person, which is the Ministry of Local Government, to get releases, to get funding, to do simple basic things that we shouldn't be having no challenges with. Why it is it takes almost the entire term to complete a box drain in one street when you have hundreds of streets and drains to connect and to fix and to ameliorate flood, all these issues with flooding and so on and so forth. So you have rain right now. We don't even know if our waterways are cleared because of the difficulties these corporations face when it comes to getting their money. Because sometimes it's not really about the money that they have, but really actually getting the money in their hands to do these projects. And the other issue we have as well is that people would then vote in elections, and the turnout will always be very low because of people's perception that their councillors doesn't do anything or unable to do anything. Because whenever you see a councillor and you bring an issue to them, it's money, it's funding, it's relations. And it's the same storyline, song bite for everybody.
Okay.
So, of course, people will eventually feel, you know, that it's not working for them. And I really do hope that a reform happens soon so that, of course, we can get better value for money.
Let's ask Rudolf Anamji, former Congress of the People executive member. You've been involved in local government campaigning. Why do you think there is this lack of engagement in local government?
Excellent place to start, Satish. And I was actually, at that time, the youngest campaign manager who actually won my two seats, my two candidates won. And when we would canvass and engage with the population, a number of things came to the fore. One in particular was the fact that local government and voters really represent a microcosm of the same types of behavior and approaches at the general election level. However, it's exacerbated, as my two colleagues mentioned. So you do find this lower turnout because people don't see it as important as the general election. Due in fact, partly because over the years, the MPs and the central government have undermined the importance of the councillors. The central government and ministers and MPs for public relations activities, for example, would attend to activities being undertaken in the local government councillor area. And would act as though they were the ones that were organizing the activity on behalf of the state, when in fact it was really the municipal corporation and the respective councillor that was responsible. Hasten to add that we are, well, I'm speaking before the current reform takes effect. Over the last 20 to 30 years, we've been dealing with a local government system that was actually created for a much simpler, less populated Trinidad and Tobago, for a time gone by where everything was very manual and easier in many ways to manage. So you found that over the years, the system did not evolve to match the changing needs of the country. And what started to set in, Satish, quite frankly, was that on one hand, you had councillors who were stymied in what they were trying to do, but you also had a number of councillors who just weren't performing because their day-to-day lives, it contrasted with the time and energy required to serve their burgesses. So it's easy to blame the system sometimes, but we must also look at the individuals who are putting themselves forward to serve. And if they make good on their, even though the system is broken, how do you represent people? Sometimes people don't care if you deliver so much, but that you show that you are trying to deliver for them. And lastly, the citizens, we ourselves must get more involved. Many of my friends and colleagues did not even know that you could attend your statutory meetings at the councillor's office, at the municipal corporation's office on a monthly basis. Do we write letters? Do we go on the websites now with the technology, get the number of our councillors and keep in touch with them? Do we volunteer to assist with community projects? Do we, you know, collect data and mobilize within our communities? So I would say it takes a number of hands in this matter to clap, and there's fault to go around. But, you know, let's see what the reform brings and what the new candidates bring to the table.
This is a most interesting start to our discussion here this morning about the youth perspective on local government elections. And it's important because they say the youth is the future. They are the ones who will have to carry the baton one way or the other. And in many countries, we see where the youths have fostered the kind of change that people have been talking about for decades. As to whether or not that's going to happen here at home, the jury is out. We need to take a quick message, but when we get back, we continue our discussion, local government elections, the youth perspective, with our special guests here this morning. That's youth leadership development coach Kobe Nathan Sandy, two-time National Youth Parliamentarian Chrisette Benjamin, and of course, former Congress of the People executive member, local government campaign lead Rudolf Hanamji. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. This is about 25 minutes before 7. Should we take a couple quick calls? We're discussing here this morning the issue of youth participation in local government, the youth perspective. And our guests, of course, youth leadership development coach Kobe Nathan Sandy, two-time national youth parliamentarian Chrisette Benjamin, and former COP executive member Rudolf Hanamji. Let's see if we can take a quick call before we get back into our discussion. Hello, good morning.
A pleasant good morning, Satish. A pleasant good morning to your co-hosts. A pleasant good morning, Trinidad and Tobago. It's a rainy morning, and local government is important at this point, in more than maybe ever. Satish, one of your co-hosts, and I agree with everybody, all the contributions made so far, but I want to focus more, and I want to agree that central government ministers and central government as a whole, sometimes they do not treat councillors, they undermine councillors, as it was said, on many, many occasions, right? Well, today the PNM is in power. Even some of the PNM councillors make that same statement that their hands are tied because of the system that is taking place. And we do need not just local government reform, but we need constitutional reform as a whole in order for the citizens of the country to really get service. And Satish, I'll tell you something. The bureaucracy that takes place within the local government system is huge, and I'll tell you. Many times there are allocations, and it's only by name, because allocations without releases is virtually nothing. And when councillors go out there and talk to the burgesses and promise and so on, this many times they really mean it. But when there are no releases, you cannot really serve the burgesses, who will blame the councillor in any event. But apart from that, Satish, sometimes you have equipment breakdown. And the tendering process and time and so on, it takes a hell of a long time.
Okay, Harrison, you're going to have to end it there because I want to keep the contribution short so we can continue our discussion. Let's take another quick call. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, Satish, and your guest there. I just want to ask a question this morning. You talk always here about youth. Is that the answer for it all? Even with reform and whatsoever it is. You see young people going up for this election and promising you milk and honey, right? And when they do get there and they cannot provide you milk and honey because of some stumbling block. And I think there's supposed to be a mix. You must have youth to carry on in succession. And the next thing again, you see people jump up and they go representing a certain party, and this is the best thing since sliced bread. And suddenly they just change and jump on the other one. And there's a whole mumbo jumbo, this local government. We do need reform, but I think we need meaningful reform. And I want to hear the response.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call. I've been sitting on this program this year, makes it 12 going on 13 years, and I've been hearing about local government reform since long before that. And local government reform is a topic that we throw out at what I consider to be the most politically opportune times. We have a local government election on the horizon. All of a sudden, now we're hearing that local government reform is everything. We need to have local government reform. Without it, we can't get anything done. If one party wins, we're going to get local government reform. And that carrot is always dangled in front of a population that seems to fall for it over and over and over again. Since when did local government stop working the way that it was working to the point where we needed local government reform? Let's start with you, Chrisette, because you are one of the people who believe that local government reform is essential. Why? What about the system that has worked for us since we had local government? What about it is not working now to the point where we need to reform it?
Well, for one, thank you for the question. For one, I would say definitely allocation of resources, as my colleagues would have said prior. I think that is the number one issue, because you would hear corporations saying that they want to do this project, they want to do that project, but the recurrent argument is there's no releases. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, I think there's not enough funds allocated to corporations. When you listen to the responsibilities of a corporation, doesn't matter how small or big the general area is, it's a lot of responsibilities, and that requires a lot of money to enact those responsibilities. And I think with reform, and just I'm a social development advocate as well, I wholeheartedly agree with the move to put some of the social development responsibilities in the hands of the corporation. Reason being, someone from Port of Spain will not understand the needs of a community, or who best deserves getting access to a grant, or who is most in need. You often see your councillors, because people go to their councillors to hampers, they'll say they have a problem with this. So I agree with reform in that point, but I completely agree with the point that we've been hearing about reform since 1990s, I believe it was on the table. But I am aware that the draft bill is currently up for assent. So we could see that happening once the president goes through that process. You'd see that come into life. So I think we are much closer than we've ever been before with reform. But my concern remains, yes, we want to put property tax to fund the corporations, but the fact of the matter is some areas definitely have way more houses than some. So is it that we're gonna, I don't think they ever addressed how exactly they're going to equitably distribute the taxes to the corporations, especially understanding the different needs of communities. So that is one of my concerns. And a quick response to the caller who asks if youth is the answer. I think the argument that young people are making is not necessarily that we are saying that we are the answer and we should take over, but we have a right and we deserve to be at the table to make decisions, because the fact of the matter is 40% of this country is young people, yet still in our parliament, for example, I believe is under 1% of persons in parliament are under the age of 30. And when you hear the youth perspective, they are able to properly advocate and say what is the youth perspective. You would hear somebody else who's older say that, yes, this is the youth perspective, but is it really? Who are they consulting? So that is why we are advocating for more young people, because again, the corporation has a responsibility for youth development, but yet still you don't see that happening because they don't see the importance. Yeah. Where's the youth to advocate for that?
So let's get Kobe's perspective as well. What about local government requires all of this talk on reform that we're hearing now?
Well, a reform conversation has not started now.
Mm-hmm.
We actually reached a way where the reform is actually at our doorstep when it comes to the legislation that has been passed and now ready to be proclaimed. But it has started since, as Chris has said, since in the 90s. Over 30 years now, we have been hearing about reform, whether it was a white paper, a green paper, or kind of color papers. Back in his Manning time, we could remember where Patrick Manning would have postponed the controversial postponement of elections due to the want to reform in the 2000s. So we have been hearing about the reform for quite a while, and if you look at those discussions and back then, it all be down to what my colleague Mr. Rudolph has been saying, which is that it was the system did not evolve to meet and cater for the needs of today. I am from Point Fortin, the Point Fortin Borough Corporation, and when you look at some of the rules and duties in the corporation, it's quite archaic. You say you still have town engineer, and you still have different positions that have been created back when we were when we had county councils. You know, so it really had menial tasks, and it, there isn't much specialized rules within corporations to really and truly push the envelope for local governance. You have an issue as well where the entire structure, and I will listen to the Prime Minister this, when they would have opened the diplomatic complex over the weekend, and he was saying the difficulty of councillors and council being able to instruct their CEOs. What you have right now is that you have to have the CEO, you have to write it to the hope and pray, is cooperative and will be able to work with the council, unless you have somebody who's wrong and strong, which happens a lot of times. We have seen where corporations bring motions of no confidence in their CEOs because they don't want to cooperate and get things done for their councils. And you have where these senior public servants, they don't face people, they don't face our electorate, but it's the councillors who face the electorate and get the back UNC, whether it be PNM in their districts. So you have this entire organizational management issue where it is just difficult to get simple and basic needs for people in communities. And that is why these issues must be reformed, so that people can be confident in their councils. People can be confident in their councillors. People can be confident in their mayors and chairmen of corporations, so that, of course, we can see a better value for money. And that's why I'm hoping to see that the reform is no longer a song bite, but can be actually executed.
Yeah. Rudolph, let's get your view now. Local government reforms, we've been hearing about it for a long period of time. Do we really need these reforms? Are they just political banter that we hear at the right time? The legislation, it's almost upon us. What's your take on it?
I agree with Chrisette and Kobe wholeheartedly. I will just add some color. I'm a millennial, so I'm sort of in the middle of two generations, and I've lived long enough and experienced firsthand the fact, Satish, that sometimes people defer, and I'm not saying my colleagues are saying this, but this is the general zeitgeist out there. People blame laws a lot of times for inefficiency and corruption and lack of delivery. We hear a lot of talk about, we need this new law, we need to change this. And we could have an entire conversation by itself on the lengthy process of legislative review and amendment that exists in our country, and not just our country, many countries. The main argument for local government reform would have to be in the areas of accountability, empowerment, resource allocation, and structuring. So, for example, in the new org chart, there's a function for internal audit in every large, and municipal corporations are large organizations. If you really think about it, they handle millions of dollars, thousands of acres, hundreds of purchases, etc. In any large corporation, you need to have functions like that, an internal audit function that ensures value for money and reduce the possibility of corruption. Unfortunately, even though in the current system, or let's say the old system and the existing laws of Trinidad and Tobago, it comes down to the individual sometimes if they wish to follow the procedure, if they wish to be efficient. And we know, all of us know, that there are unfortunately some people in our country who do not have ethics. They do not act according to the standards and the policies that are put in place, and they will either slow things down or fasten things up depending on whether or not some of them are gaining from the system. And that has been one of the other major issues with local government, is that just like other places in society, there has been room for corruption and mishandling of resources. So the burgesses at the end of the day suffer. Why I think youth and an injection of more young people would help with some of these things is simply that, apart from the balancing factor and the fresh perspectives, young people tend not to be as jaded, or I put it in brackets, susceptible to corruption sometimes, because many of them, I remember when I was much younger, you're very idealistic, you have a lot of new ways of doing things that are natural to you that older people take sometimes a longer while to adopt, like technology. And local government, as I said, requires a lot of time, but it doesn't require certain attributes or experience that, let's say, an MP might require as a legislator at a national level. If you have, like Kobe and Chrisette, the heart, the passion for community service, and you have some experience in community mobilization and managing projects, etc., I think local government is a fantastic place for young leaders to begin their career. As a matter of fact, I believe Kamla Prasad Bisesa began as a councillor, and even Keith Rowley, I don't think he was a councillor, but he started off in the youth areas that the PNM was focused on, and helping councillors. That is a fantastic learning ground for young people to get, more young people to get involved and learn from older people. And I think they will have energy and excitement and more chance of fighting the system. Because let us not be fooled, Satish, just to close, the reforms that are coming will not be the panacea overnight for a magical, effective local government. It will still continue to be a factor of the people who are there, who have put themselves up to serve, mm-hmm. and if they are willing to do the work and to work with the CEOs and the management of the corporation to really get the benefits for the purchases.
We need to take a quick message, but when we get back, from all three of you, I'd like very much for you all to speak to the nation and tell people, because we will be running out of time, tell people why this local government election should be seen as no other before, and why more people should be a part of this electoral process. That when we get back.
Talk Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. We are out of time this morning. I'm going to have to ask each of you quickly to give me and to give our listeners one reason why they should go out and vote this local government election. Let's start with you, Chrisat.
Okay, really quickly. It's not just your civic duty, but when you're involved in our process, you will be more inclined to hold people accountable. So go out and vote. Once you pay attention, you will definitely help make Trinidad and Tobago a better place.
That's great advice. Kobe, quickly, reasons why people should go out and vote.
To be a part of your government and governance. By voting, it gives you the opportunity to, of course, select who is best to really and truly push the envelope for development, and you are a part of that. Many countries don't have the opportunity to do that. Mm-hmm. And let us do it now, where we can try our best to get ourselves together for governance.
And let's wrap up quickly, Rudolph and Amjay. One reason why people should go out and vote this local government election.
Give whoever you're supporting, give them an overwhelming mandate with your vote so that you can put the politics aside and continue to work with them afterwards to help them be successful. That's why you should get involved.
I want to thank all three of you for being with us here this morning. Time just got away from us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.